18. Dr. Yi Ting is with us today. People living in disadvantaged areas have fewer opportunities to enjoy the numerous benefits parks and nature offer, and that is in stark contrast to residents in more affluent neighbourhoods. Now, Dr. Yi Ting Huang is from the School of Architecture and Planning at Auckland Uni and says an article that our leafy oases shouldn't be reserved for the privileged. Instead, we need to prioritise green spaces for those who need them most. Dr. Yi Ting is with us today. Thank you for joining us. Dr. Tenakwe, and welcome.
Oh, kia ora katoa katoa. Sorry about my te Māori.
That's all right. Hey, we're all on a journey.
I'm very honoured to be here.
And I'm very pleased to have you here too, Doc. Look, our radio station's based here in the south, South Auckland and Mangere, and there are parks, but they're not everywhere. And it's getting worse as more and more infill housing takes over the area. We need parks, don't we, as the housing stock becomes more compressed. Certainly, and we factor in the obesity challenges that we're facing on the south side, perhaps wider Auckland as well. Parks are important for people. Tell us why there should be more parks.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's very easy to see parks to be readily available vacant space for building more houses, and they're just easy choices. But it's really essential to recognize that converting parks into housing can have very significant consequences on the well-being of the communities and the environment. I mean, park is a place we hang out, right? We play sports, we go to relax and take strolls. But it's not just for fun. It's also great for our health. It's like this two-in-one deal that we get. We get some exercise, we keep fit, and then we stay healthy just by spending time outdoor of these green spaces. And many studies have found that there are positive impact on mental health as well. So just being in the green spaces, fresh air, can help us de-stress. And let's not forget that the sense of community it can bring for us. Like, parks are perfect for socializing and building connections with our neighbors. We can have picnics, host birthday parties for our kids, and even organizing a community game day and all that. So it's so many benefits. And again, it's not just good for us as people, they're also good for the environment as well. They act like a mini ecosystem, supporting our local wildlife and, you know, providing homes for plants and animals. And they also become a nature air purification. I mean, I can go on and on about this.
Well, I take my hat off to those who, when they designed the city, ensured there were green spaces. But as we become more population-based and we're going up, I'm just wondering whether there is available green space here. Certainly, we're looking for the protection of parks we already have, but is it realistic to expect that we might be able to create more parks as we develop into a future-focused city, Doc?
Yeah, no, it certainly needs to have a sort of a way ahead forward thinking about planning our cities. I mean, with the population and the housing crisis that we're facing in Auckland, it's inevitable that we have to go to a higher density living style. And if we do so, then we will be able to allow more spaces for parks. You know how in the European cities, people are more prone to living in their smaller spaces like apartments and share, you know, consolidate their backyards into a bigger park so that everybody can enjoy it. Even though I know there's a cultural differences and in New Zealand is a very different context, but just having sort of a different thinking about the city as we move forward, we really do have to start worry about it, because I haven't even mentioned about the resilience. I mean, the benefit of park in terms of contributing to climate resilience. We have been having those crazy weathers for the past few months, and parks is such an important element. It's a sponge. It helps us to prevent a lot of things. So even though it will be challenging, but I think it's not impossible. It's just that we do have to think way ahead and plan ahead about how we move forward.
Thanks, Dr. Yi Ting, with us today. Look, I can't help but notice that some more affluent areas, the quality of the equipment in the parks far exceeds those that we find out in the south here. What would you say about those in more affluent neighbourhoods also have more snazzy parks than those in the poorer communities. So why is that so, and what do you suggest should be done of that?
Right. No, yeah, no, you're totally right, because park can be seen as luxury. You know, we have this vacant land just for green and leaves. For those less affluent spaces, people are crunched for spaces, and there's less opportunity to actually do extras for those areas. And I think we did actually find out in our research that even though we talked about spaces for parks, but most importantly is the accessibility of parks and different types of parks. For example, we don't really just want a big green park that is really far away from everybody, and we definitely should think more about catering to what's really needed. For example, South Auckland has more kids. So having those neighborhood playgrounds and parks that are real caters to the community is critical. So maybe not even big parks, sophisticated planned equipment, but smaller parks sort of spaced around the neighborhood that is easy for the kids and the family, the mom and dad, to bring them to for a 5-minute walk, and they can be there. It will be much more important and critical, I think, rather than having like very fancy ones somewhere far away that you wouldn't be able to get to.
I've got a fear that because the representation on our local council often has people from the more affluent suburbs, that there might be a tendency to funnel monies across into communities that they are more familiar with. There does appear to be an imbalance. I'm not quite sure if it's institutionalised stereotyping or even the R word, racism, that would result in those in the richer suburbs having better quality parks to use than those out in Struggle Street, so to speak. But it does raise some questions, doesn't it, Doc?
It does, it does. And our research is not really based about policy, but just looking at the patterns and the accessibility of those locations, there is just disparities that are so obvious,
It's going to be interesting. We're talking about a development in Manukau, but, you know, knowing I've got mokos who live in the south side too, and they're always looking for interesting places to take the kids because everywhere seems to be expensive. Parks, on the other hand, well, you get them there, get a ball and run around, climb a tree and do all of the, you know, straightforward stuff. And it's very useful for many families out here in the south. Thanks for drawing our attention to this issue. It's not something I haven't noted before, but it's the first time I've seen some in-depth study on the realities. Dr. Yiting Chuang with us today. How do I pronounce your name there, Doc?
Thank you so much, and have a great day.
And you too. Thank you, Doctor. Thanks very much for joining us on Pakiwaha, Current Affairs from a Māori Perspective.